Well, good morning and welcome. We're glad to have you today, and it's a good day to think about spiritual matters and holy things. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 through 29 this morning. Matthew 7, 24 through 29. And maybe you remember this story from your youth. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, right? It's a great song that we teach our children, emphasizing the need to listen to Jesus and to follow his teaching, because that is this parable. He's talking about two different kinds of people, the wise and the foolish builders. And that's what our lesson is this morning. Well, let's read these verses together, and then we're going to come back and talk about three things. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So we're going to note three things this morning. First of all, the wise man built his house upon the rock. Secondly, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And third, the authority of Jesus Christ. You could call this last part of the Sermon on the Mount, because this is still part of the Sermon on the Mount. You could call it the invitation. And Jesus is issuing a call to action on the things that he has taught within this sermon that began back in Matthew chapter 5. And now at the end of this sermon in Matthew chapter 7, he's saying, you need to listen and you need to do. And that's the invitation. You know, many today don't appreciate Jesus' words here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. They love the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, but then they don't listen to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Because the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says here in 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, if there was ever a single passage of Scripture that contradicted the doctrine of salvation by faith only, that is the passage right there. And when we read what Jesus says, he makes it very clear that it's the one who does the will of the Father who is going to go to heaven. And many who claim to do it will not. And so he emphasizes that point now in this parable. And he makes it clear at the beginning, it's the one who hears these sayings of mine and does them. That is the wise man. The one who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. That is the foolish man. And so as we study through this parable and think about some things related to it, let's be thinking about how Jesus wants us to not just believe, but to do. We've got to practice Christianity in our lives. So first of all, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And we would note this first point, that he built a house. And what is that? That is the life that he has been given. Building the house here represents one's life. And how are we going to lead those lives? In fact, we don't have very long to do it. If you look at passages such as James chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." So many want to say with the people that James was talking about, "Hey, we got all the time in the world. Let's go make some money. Let's go do some business. Let's lead our lives." And James says, "No, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. Your life may end tomorrow. Life is a vapor." In Psalm 90 and verse 10, this psalm, which is attributed to Moses, says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." And so some glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away, and life will end. And the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. And so we're building a life, but that life is not going to last forever. And so what will we do with our lives? Going to the beginning of Ecclesiastes 12, the writer there says that we should remember our Creator in the days of our youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, "I have no pleasure in them." That is, start early listening to God and His Word and following it. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Psalm 119 and verse 9. And keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Life is fleeting, and so it is important that we focus on the right things. The wise man built his house, but he built it on the right foundation. He built it on a rock. This is a good foundation, a massive bedrock. Houses in the first century were made of cut stone, and they were wedged together and then sealed with mud and straw. And then they put a veneer of plaster on the outside of the house to cover everything, to keep the water out, keep it from eroding the mud and straw that sealed the stones together. And if that plaster were to break and water were to get into those houses, they would fall apart and the roof would collapse. So building on a good foundation was important, because if you built on a bad foundation, your plaster would crack and the water would get in the house and the house would fall. But if you built it on a good foundation, it wouldn't move. The plaster would stay intact and that house would last for a long time. You see, this builder, the wise man, he wanted his building to last. He wanted something to be made of his life. He was not self-destructive. He took the time to find the right foundation so that he could build his house on it. It takes time to do things the right way. But we must, if what we want to build is going to last. And we must build on the right foundation. Jesus is the right foundation. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, this massive bedrock, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And what was that rock that Jesus would build his church on? It was a confession that Peter made. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. He is the rock. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 tells us that rock was Christ. And so we have the foundation, which is Christ. And if we want that house to last that we're building, it needs to be built on the foundation of Him. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus is that solid foundation. He's that root vine in which we must abide if we are to build our house on the rock. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and you will be my disciples. John 15 verses 7 to 8. Jesus is the foundation. And so we need to listen to Him. And we need to hear His message. And we need to follow His message in our lives. Not just being hearers of the Word only, but doers of the Word also. Let's look at the book of James for a minute for that point. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Think about what James taught in James 2 and verses 18 through 24. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And so James tells us very clearly what the same message that Jesus said here. We must both hear and do to be a wise builder of our house. And somebody says, but Paul in the book of Romans. And my reply to that is, but look at Paul in Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But what does avail? Faith working through love. You see, faith works. It's not faith only, folks. That is not in the Bible. In fact, the only thing the Bible says about faith only is that James 2 and verse 24, you see then the man justified by works and not by faith only. And so we've got to believe and we've got to practice the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about the one who hears and does. That was Jesus' message, and that should be our message today. Hebrews 5 and verses 8 and 9 says this, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And who was the wise man? The one who heard the message of Jesus and then did the message of Jesus. So let's think about the foolish man for a minute. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Think about sand. It is not a very good foundation. In fact, sands shift. You remember years ago, I was driving along the coastline of South Louisiana, and I happened to look out into the ocean there, and there were some small little sand islands that were in the water. You know, you could see them popping up out of the water. The water was kind of shallow. And to my amazement, as I was looking out there, I saw little shanties, little shacks that had been built on these sand dunes, these sand islands that were out, small, tiny island, you know, no bigger than maybe this stage up here. And I think, well, what possesses someone to build a dwelling place on such a difficult location, such an improbable location for permanence? I can't imagine someone doing that, because you know that very soon that little shanty, by some force or another, a storm or maybe the wind or maybe just the tide, would be enough to just wipe it out. And then where would they go? What would they do? The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Everyone is building something, you know. Just because you're not building your house upon the rock doesn't mean you're not building a house. Even the foolish man was still building a house. He was still living a life. He had something to do with his life. Even someone who says, I'm not going to do anything, is still building a life. They're doing something with their life, even if it's nothing. And what kind of life is that? The foolish man is the one who really doesn't think very much of his life. He's got very self-destructive tendencies. He's like what Paul wrote about in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. He just goes one way or the other. He's foolish. Build your house upon the sand, build your house upon the rock, it's all the same to him, because he doesn't take it very seriously. He's like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, James 1 and verse 6. Or like a sheep without a shepherd, Numbers 27, 17 and Matthew 9, 36. Without God, man is destined to failure. Psalm 14 and verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Without God, it's impossible to build a life that is worth anything. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not man that walks to direct his own steps. And he said in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man without God is simply building a house on sand, and it is going to fall. What kind of foundation is that sand? It's a horrible foundation. Sand doesn't stay still. It moves so much and shifts around. Water would crumble the foundation because that sand would move the foundation, or the walls, I mean. It would crumble the walls because the walls would move when the foundation moves, and the water would get into the building materials and cause the roof to collapse. You know, we talked about that Wednesday night, and Ezekiel 13 and verses 10 through 19, where God called the false prophets of the Old Testament, those who were putting cheap plaster on the outside of the walls, plaster that did not have any temper in it, and it would crack and water would hit it and peel it away, and then the house would collapse. And so any foundation other than Jesus is going to destroy a person's life. Oh, but I must follow my heart, is what so many people say, and they make that the foundation of their life. But listen to Proverbs 28, 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. What about my money and my wealth? Surely I can trust that to make something of my life. But listen to Psalm 49, 6 and 7. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Wealth is not going to cut it. Well, what about great men? Surely the great men of the world, I can trust them and I can put my faith in them and they will not lead me astray. Listen to what Psalm 62 and verses 9 and 10 says. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Whatever it might be, whether by hook or crook, none of those things are going to provide the foundation that we need. Oh, but so many today say, the government will save us. I can trust in the government. But listen to Psalm 146 and verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. No, only God can give us the foundation we need. It's not going to come from our own heart. It's not going to come from our wealth and our riches. It's not going to come from great men, and it's not going to come from the government. Only Jesus Christ is able to give us what we need to build a life. And so when someone hears his message but does not follow it, he is like one who is building his house on the sand. One day, it's going to collapse. There were so many who heard Jesus, but then they just didn't act on what Jesus said. And just like today, so many go around crying, Jesus this, Jesus that. And they love the little baby in the manger. But they don't want to obey the man who hung on the cross. Matthew 15 and verses 1 through 9. Jesus, starting in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to them, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. How many today vainly worship God, vainly worship Jesus Christ, because they've substituted their own teachings for what Jesus actually taught. We need to get back to Jesus. We need to get back to His Word, back to His message. Not what some man taught, but what Jesus taught. And we need to be about the business of hearing what He says and doing what He says in our lives. And so we come to our third point, the authority of Jesus. You see, it makes a difference whether we hear and obey or whether we hear and don't obey, because Jesus has all authority. And that's what the people said here in Matthew chapter 7. He spoke as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And why is that? Because Jesus has all authority. In John 17 and verse 2, Jesus said that God had given him authority over all flesh. Every single person is under the authority of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." And so He has the authority. Philippians 2 and verses 9 through 11, we read, "Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus has all authority. And He will judge us one day. John 12 and verse 48 says, "He who rejects me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things that he has done in his body, whether they be good or bad." In Acts 17 verse 30 and 31, Paul says, "The times of ignorance God once winked at, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, whereof He has given assurance to all men, in that He has raised Him from the dead." Jesus' authority comes from divine power, the power that raised Him up from the dead. And if we do not submit to that authority, there will be no divine power supporting us on that day. Jesus speaks with authority because He has the authority. And how will we then regard Him? As the wise man did, or as the foolish man did? The wise man built his house upon the rock. Gives a little different meaning to that song now, doesn't it? Now that we know what Jesus taught. What about us this morning? What will we do with this parable that Jesus gave? Oh, that everyone would come to know Jesus Christ, to make Him the foundation of his or her life, to live for Him each and every moment. And you can begin that process today by doing what Jesus said to do, by being like the wise man, hearing His word and believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Why do those things? Because Jesus said to do them. It's as simple as that. And the wise man hears what Jesus says, and he does it. It's as simple as that. Oh, but no, there's no buts. It's just doing what Jesus said. And would you not do that this morning? Maybe you need to turn back to Him in your life for whatever reason, and you've stopped doing what Jesus has told you, although you did it at one point, and you need to come back to Him and rededicate yourself. There is still time. Your life is a vapor, but you still have a life. There's still time. Don't wait until it's too late. Because one day, that house that you have built, that life that you have made, will either stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ or it won't. And so now is the time to come to Him. And you can do so right now while together we stand and while we sing.